This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Hi everyone, Delphina Correa here from Be Made Whole and Maxwell Leadership. Great to be with you again today. We're currently on part 9 of a series based on the book by John Maxwell. The title of the book is Developing the Leader Within You, version 2 of that book, which is the latest one. I want to just start off today with a very quick recap on what we've covered so far. And there are recordings available. And at the end of the segment, I will give you the place where you can get recordings so that you can catch up on those if you want to get the content up to now. We've spoken about the definition of leadership, which is influence, and the five different levels of leadership and how our influence changes as we move up the five levels. We spoke about the key to leadership, which is priorities. There's a whole lot of help there with you on how to prioritize and how to stick to your priorities and different ways that you can set up your priorities so that you can really focus on the important things that are going to make you better, that are going to give you a better return in life. And we spoke about the foundation of leadership, which is character, and the importance of having the right character for leadership. We also spoke about the tests of leadership. And how do I know if I'm a good leader or not? And the way we test that is when, if we're able as leaders to create positive change, then that makes us a good leader. We also spoke about how to gain leadership by solving problems. And we had a whole part on problem solving, which will really help you if you want to get more knowledge. If you struggle with problems and how to deal with them and how to have the right perspective, that'll really help you. And then we spoke about the right attitude of leadership. How can I have the right attitude as a leader? You see, if I don't have a right attitude as a leader, then my leadership is going to fall flat. It's going to stagnate. I'm never going to get anywhere with it. And we've got to have the right attitude. And part of having the right attitude is we got to do whatever it takes. And that whole segment last week, we spoke about it. That was part 8, about having the right attitude in leadership. And we got to do whatever it takes. But you know what? If I know what it takes to be a leader, and I can listen to that part 8 and I can say, okay, this is what I should, this is the whatever it takes attitude I need to have. And I've got this attitude and that's great. But the thing with attitude is very good, except it can't end with just knowing. That attitude would include that I have to move to a place of action. If I don't move to action, then nothing is going to change. So today we're going to talk about how you can put that whatever it takes attitude into action. There is a cycle that John Maxwell developed, and the reason why I want to give that cycle to you is to help you, because in this series we spoke a lot about solving problems, and you know, it's so easy to just throw in the towel. But if I want to have that can-do and that attitude, that die-hard attitude, I must be able to hold on and stay in, you can say stay in the race when things go wrong. And, you know, when things are going well, then I don't need to apply my whatever it takes attitude because things are going well. I don't have to persevere in any way. But when there are challenges, when there's difficulty, when there are problems to solve, when we fail, then that whatever it takes attitude needs to kick in so we stay in the game. So there's a cycle, and there are four phases to the cycle. The fifth phase is kind of, you know, kind of a fifth phase, but when I get to that, you'll understand. But let's just go phase by phase. It's a cycle that we get into. If we stay in the cycle, then we will stay in the leadership game of life as leaders. So here we are. We got our whatever it takes attitude, and we want to put it into action. Something has happened, we're solving a problem, and we've come up with a solution that we want to apply. Phase one is what I call the test phase, or what John at least calls the test phase. I want to ask you a question, and then I'm going to quote someone after that. The first thing I want to do, let's ask the question. Do you typically wait for the perfect moment to start? You know, the perfect moment? So hold your answer. Don't answer yet. Now I want to quote someone by the name of T. Boone Pickens. This is what he said. He said, "Don't fall victim to what I call the ready, aim, 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 aim syndrome. You must be willing to fire. It's ready, aim, fire. That's what it is. And if we keep waiting for the perfect moment, we're going to get into that aiming rut where we keep aiming, but we never fire." So when we test something, like we've said, the scenario is we have a problem. We've decided on a path for solution. We're going to test it. We've got to do that. We've got to take action into testing that solution. So we test that solution. Now, if that solution works, it's all great. It works. We can move on, right? But what if it fails? What if we try to solve the problem a certain way and it doesn't work out? That is the second phase. Fail. The failing phase has got a lot to do with how we believe failure looks or our attitude towards failure. My question is to you today is, what do you believe about failure? How do you see it? And I want to quote somebody now, because we want to rate ourselves when it comes to risk taking. You know, when it comes to taking risks on a scale of 1 to 10, where would you rate yourself? But before you rate yourself, let me quote Paul Martinelli. Some of you might not know. Paul Martinelli is the co-founder of the Maxwell team, previously known as the John Maxwell team. He is the person who pitched the idea of the John Maxwell team to John Maxwell himself. And together they launched the John Maxwell team, which is today known as Maxwell Leadership. And this is what Paul Martinelli said, also a highly successful businessman. He said, "The willingness to fail is essential for the leader to model and the team to embrace. Most people, leaders included, try everything in their power to avoid failure. And they should. But they should not avoid making the big bets, taking the big risks, or initiating the new efforts that will put them and their team into the position they may fail, so that they can seek the rewards of growth." You see, you've got to put yourself out there so that you can grow and then get the reward of that growth. He continued to say, "I think what has led us to some of our greatest achievements has not been my or my team's willingness to do our best. We should always be doing our best. Rather, it's our willingness to do our all. To test every possible opportunity, to test every new innovation, to test every person's ability and potential." End quote. So maybe you're thinking about that now and you're realizing that your attitude towards failure has not been very good. It's been more like a defeated kind of mindset you have or a perception you have. So how would you then keep a positive attitude when you're failing? You're the one I'm speaking to if that's you asking that question. And I want to just give you a little bit of nuggets here, a few nuggets on how you can stay positive even when you're in a failing position. You got to see failure as a constant companion of success. Failure and success go together. Problem solving and leadership go together. Same thing. And you got to see success as more like colorfully varied than monochromatic. What I mean is you fail, you get up again, and then you succeed. In fact, here's a little maths lesson for you. Failure plus getting up again equals success. Got it? You fail plus you get up again equals success. So when I say colorfully varied, I mean, you know, when you get up, every time a failure happens and you get up again, it's going to look new every time. It's going to be a new way of solving things. It's going to be new lessons that you learn, and then you eventually get to a point where your life moves in a direction of success. So every single time you get up after failing, you're moving up a step in your success. And it's a journey of success moving in that direction. Another way to keep a positive attitude while you're failing is that you've got to have a game plan to get over that failure. If you don't have a game plan, you're just going to sit there. So I want to give an example of a game plan. You might want to try it out, and I think it's a great idea. I got this from John Maxwell himself. I don't know where he got it from, but you can have something like a 24-hour rule. So here's a good idea, a 24-hour rule for when you fail. Let's say something happened, you failed. Oh, this is the part two of this cycle, or phase two of the cycle. You failed. So the 24-hour rule says, within 24 hours, I've got to define the cause, get some solutions, and then pick one, and then do it. It's quick. One, two, three, go. It's like, ready, aim, fire. Define the cause, get solutions, pick one, go for it. And you got to try to do that within 24 hours, if that's possible, depending on the kind of problem. Some problems take longer to get solutions for. But that's like an idea you could have to stay positive, because you're too busy getting up again that you don't have time to think about the failure for too long. So what does failure mean to you? And how do you usually respond to it? You want to be honest with yourself when you answer that question. With yourself, you don't have to tell anybody. This is not to embarrass or expose anybody. These are self-coaching questions. You want to coach yourself through this so that you can get better. Because the answers are all there inside of you. The answers that you give define where you are, and they help you to know what needs to be done for you to get better. So let's go back to our scenario. We tested something. It failed. What's the next step? Now we learn. Roland Nitnahl said, a mistake is only a failure if you don't learn from it. So when people make mistakes, let's say that this thing didn't work out, and now there's a lesson to learn. But the thing is, you're only going to learn that lesson if you have a right response to the mistake or to the thing that didn't work. So here are three responses that people have to mistakes. You could identify where you fit in, but you got to have the right response if you want to learn from that mistake. So you get the person who they make a mistake and then they resolve to not ever make a mistake again. Now that's foolish. We do try not to make the same mistakes, but in life we know that somewhere along the line we're going to make another mistake of some other sort, and it's foolish to think that you'll never make mistakes. You know, when we get to heaven, then we won't make any more mistakes. But as long as we're in this dispensation on this earth, there are going to be mistakes. And it's foolish to think that we are perfect, because we're not. Then you get the people who allow their mistakes to make cowards of them. They get knocked down and they never get up again. They don't want to get up. They're too afraid to get up. That's fatal, because that's the end of the road for us if we don't get up again, isn't it? Whatever my leadership journey is, if I get knocked down, if I don't get up again, then that's the end of my leadership journey. If I'm on my success path and I get knocked down and I don't get up again, then that's the end of my success journey. Then you get the people who develop the security to learn from their mistakes. And that's where we all want to be, because that is fruitful. That's good for us. That's when we grow. That's when we get better. So we got to learn from those mistakes that we make. I mean, if we go back to those three actions, define the cause, get solutions, and pick one. I mean, defining the cause and looking for solutions, right there you are busy learning. And then the fourth phase of the cycle is we're going to improve. That's when we pick a solution and we're going to apply that solution. We're going to move in a direction with action. Someone said once, success often asks the question, what am I getting? But improvement always asks, what am I becoming? So when I'm improving, when it's what am I becoming, it implies that I'm constantly becoming something. If I'm getting something, you know, once I've got it, I've got it. But what am I becoming, it implies a continuous growth. I'm continuously improving. And which mindset would you say you mostly possess? The be good or the get better mindset? You see, the be good, to be good means I just want to be good and then I'm satisfied and then I stop there. It implies a destination, an end point. But to have a get better mindset, that doesn't have an end. It means a perpetual getting better. It's a continuous cycle of getting better and improving. And that's the one you want to have. So I want to be constantly improving. So that was the fourth step. So we test something, and if it fails, then we're going to move into learning about that, finding the solutions, and then we improve by acting on them. And then what happens? Now that I've gotten that solution, I re-enter the cycle. I'm going to test that new solution. Did that solution work? You see, here's the thing. It's a continuous cycle. So, okay, I said in the beginning, we test something and if it works, great, it worked. We can now move on. But if it doesn't work, we're going to fail and then we're going to learn from it. Then we're going to improve and we're going to re-enter the cycle. We're going to test it again. Now that might fail again, like in a different way. Now we're trying something else now, but now that one also fails. So what do? We learn again. And then we improve again. And then what do? Now we re-enter again. And then we test it again. And maybe now it'll succeed. Once it succeeds, then we're done with the cycle. But the point I'm trying to make is you stay in the game. You stay in the cycle. You keep on going over. Never give up. There's always an answer. Keep going until that test succeeds. And the big key here is commitment. John Maxwell said, until I am committed, there is a hesitancy, the chance to draw back. But the moment I definitely commit myself, then God moves as well. He comes in and a whole stream of events begin to erupt. All manner of unforeseen incidents, meetings, persons, material assistance, all those things, all that I could never have dreamed of would now become come my way and begin to flow towards me. And that all happens the moment I make a commitment. So we need to make a commitment. I want to quickly read to you the Lion Chasers Manifesto. The Lion Chasers Manifesto says this. It says, quit living as if the purpose of life is to arrive safely at death. Run to the roar. Set God-sized goals. Pursue God-given passions. Go after a dream that is destined to fail without divine intervention. So have a big dream. Stop pointing out problems and become part of the solution. Stop repeating the past. Start creating the future. Face your fears. Fight for your dreams. Grab opportunity by the mane and don't let go. Live like today is the first day and the last day of your life. Burn sinful bridges and blaze new trails. Live for the applause of nail-scarred hands. Don't let what's wrong with you keep you from worshiping what's right with God. Dare to fail. Dare to be different. Quit holding out. Quit holding back. Quit running away. Chase the lion. I want to ask you today, are you a lion chaser? While I was reading that, did you have anything that challenged you while, you know, with each phrase that I read? Which was the phrase that challenged you today? Something to think about. This moves me on. You know, we've been talking about having whatever it takes attitude and moving to action. And it moves me on to the heart of leadership. This sounds odd. Maybe it doesn't make sense to some people, but stay with me till the end of the series and you'll understand. The heart of true leadership is actually serving people. Zig Ziglar said, if you help people get what they want, then they will help you get what you want. That sounds nice, doesn't it? Now suddenly, every leader wants to serve people. But here's the thing. Before I'm going to get what I want, I need to give others what they want. I need to try to help others achieve what they want to achieve. Think of examples in your own life of this quote. Maybe you've done this for people before in your business, in your life, where you've done a lot to help someone to actually achieve what they wanted to achieve. And then later on, you saw the kind of loyalty that they had towards you because you helped them. And then when you needed help, that they were so quick. I've had so many people in my life who I've done something for them. And because I had that giving desire to help them, when I needed help from them, they were very quick to help me. And the people who I wasn't so helpful towards, you know, one day when I needed help from them, they weren't as eager. And well, you know what, you kind of do it to yourself, you know, and we got to have a right heart. And I've learned to have that heart of always adding value to people. As I've gotten older, it's become more and more important to me that the value of serving people. And if we don't have that heart as leaders, then we need to have a change of heart. Eugene Habaker, in his book The Other Side of Leadership, said this: "The true leader serves people, serves their best interests, and in so doing will not always be popular, may not impress. But because true leaders are motivated by loving concern rather than a desire for personal glory, they are willing to pay the price." Are you willing to pay the price? It's a price where you're going to give away before you receive. And John Maxwell read this book and he took two big lessons out of the book. And I want to share that with you. You don't have to read the book. Or if you want to, you can read the book. I'm sure it's available still on one of the large platforms that you can buy them books from. But there are two important lessons, and I want to share that because it's so important. These two are decisions we need to adopt. When John read this book, the first decision he made was he said, "I will place the concerns of others above my own." And that was an act of his will. The second thing he decided was he said, "I will love people unconditionally. I'll accept people." And that was his attitude. It was an act of his will combined with his attitude. And I want to ask you today, do any of those two decisions that he made, do they challenge you? Do they put a difficulty in your thought process on being a servant leader? Maybe you don't know how to do all of that. Maybe you've never had a role model. And next week, I'm going to continue with that. So join me again next week. I'm going to stop now for the sake of time. Next week, we're going to continue about how you can become a better leader by being a servant leader. How you can serve your people so that you can have greater significance in your life. In the meantime, you can visit my website, bemadewhole.co.za. There you will find all the courses that I'm licensed to train, mostly Maxwell courses. And one of my own courses as well. And as a certified Maxwell trainer, I can also help you to get certified. Maybe you want to become certified with Maxwell Leadership. You want to be a coach, teacher, trainer, speaker, and I can help you with that. You'll also see on my website there in the shop. On the shop, you will find the books that I've written available as downloads, as well as hard copies that can be delivered to your door. However, if you live in the Western Cape and you live near a Bright's Hardware store, you can pop in at one of the Bright's stores and you can pick up my books there too. And the information for that is all on the website. The blog is there with teachings, videos, and podcasts. And the podcasts are where all these recordings are. That's where you're going to find all these nine parts and any future series that is aired, you will find the recordings there on the podcasts. Social media is there. You can connect with me and stay up to date with all my latest posts on personal development and growth and leadership. And the community transformation tab is there with the community arm of Be Made Whole. There you will see what we're doing in South Africa as well as other countries of Africa. And that's it for today. So please join me again next week as we continue with part 10 of Developing the Leader Within You. Thank you very much.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.